Hallelujah. I feel like somebody needs that reminder a little bit more in your spirit. God is the greatest power. And because God, I like the conjunction in that song because it's a reminder to let us know that nothing that you're going through, no situation that you're facing is greater than the greatest power, which is the who is the God that we serve. And you will never be defeated. And I know somebody right now feels defeated. They've been going through trial after trial, sickness after sickness, problem after problem. And the enemy will have you believe his lie that this thing is going to beat you, that this thing is going to take you out, that you're never going to come from this place. But somebody ought to give God praise in this moment in the virtual sanctuary, because God is the greatest power. He will never be defeated, and he shall never be defeated. And somebody in this space needs to learn to start speaking that over these situations. Is the greatest power. Hallelujah. Good morning, Abundant Hope, and visitors, friends, virtual viewers, naysayers, big friend, everybody. Good morning. I'm glad to see you on this morning. No matter what your position is, there is a word from the Lord. We're going to 2 Kings. Chapter 5. The word was read earlier, but I'm going to begin for our healing. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sent a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he said to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, If the prophet had told you to do something already, would you not have done it?
Right.
How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
Right.
Amen. The word of God is blessed for the few minutes that are before me. And you know I mean more than a few. My title on this morning is Unexpected Emancipation.
My God.
Unexpected emancipation. You may have your seats. Father God, in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus, it is I, your servant, coming before you, Lord God, asking that you consecrate me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. God, you know what you sent me to do today. And you know how I feel about it, God. So I say that you sent Tamara all the way down. All the way down, God. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me as I deliver the words in the fashion that you told me to come on today. I pray now, God, that your people will be cultivated, Lord God, to receive the word. And I include myself in that number, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that this word will accomplish what you set for it to do. I pray that we are all good ground, whether in this building or online, God. I pray right now that the enemy will not be able to snatch any of what you are going to say, Lord God, but it will be good. It will be good foundation for our spiritual soil, Lord God. Speak all of you and none of me. Accept this as an act of worship from my heart to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Unexpected emancipation. Usually when we hear the word emancipation, we automatically think about slavery, or when a child seeks to be emancipated from their parents. And this word usually doesn't, although it has a good undertone, we usually link it to negative scenarios. However, as I was studying this word and the Lord gave it to me, I want us to understand that emancipation is simply the complete and total freedom from something that previously kept you bound. And that's important to note, because a lot of times when we come to the story of Naaman, we automatically assume that the crux of this story is about his healing. But when you really look at the text, when you do a study of the text, you will find that Naaman didn't just need to be healed from the external issue of his leprosy, but there was a deeper issue that kept him bound that he needed to be emancipated from. And it isn't until he follows the instructions that he gets to his full freedom from what was bounding him. And I'll tell you what that is in just a moment as we go through this text. So here it is. And then I just want to acknowledge somebody, because in each and every one of us in this building and everybody online, there is something that we all need to be emancipated from. Whether it's from fear, whether it's from pride, whether it's from procrastination, whether it's from hatred, whatever it is, we all are in need to be emancipated on today. And so we get to this text after we see Elisha, who is the protege of Elijah, and he's, you know, working different miracles. And we get to the story of Naaman. Naaman, who is a powerful man, but he's also an afflicted man. When you read the text, it says he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. Now, if you knew anything about this particular time of the Bible, of history, right? Naaman and the king of Syria, they were enemies against Israel. And so what was going on was the Lord was giving punishment to Israel through its foreign from their enemies. And we don't like acknowledging that a lot, right? Because we think that God is just going to be the only one that chastises us, but God uses even our enemies to chastise us, but it's really for our good, right? We don't like that. But the truth is, sometimes your enemy's presence is a good thing, because sometimes the Lord will orchestrate some things from the hand of your enemy to get you back into alignment. So that is what the children of Israel were really dealing with. So the enemy had victory, but he only had as much victory as the Lord gave them. Y'all catch that later. And so it says he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Look at the contradiction of the text. He was a great honorable valor man, but he had leprosy. And this is why that's a great contradiction, because how are you a person of power with an illness that's supposed to isolate you away from everybody? Leprosy is an incurable disease, and back in this day, anybody that had leprosy was supposed to withdraw themselves from being in company with people. And even when they were able to, like if they had errands and they had things to do, there was a certain way they were to carry themselves. They were supposed to carry themselves low. They wore certain cloaks, and then they had to go around the town yelling out, "Unclean, unclean," so that anybody in the public square that heard "unclean" knew to move out of the way, because this leper is coming and you don't want to catch what they have, because then you'll be as ill as them and considered unclean. But here it is, he's technically unclean, but societally, he is powerful.
Whoa.
He's powerful, and he's afflicted, but he's still in position. Let me say that again to somebody, because y'all didn't catch that.
Yeah.
He's powerful. He's supposed to be isolated, right? Because he's afflicted, but he's in position. And I need somebody to understand that just because you're afflicted, when God has made you powerful, you got to make the choice to stay in position. It doesn't matter the title. It doesn't matter the stigma. It doesn't matter what the world says you should be doing. When you understand the authority that you have, watch, because he was favored by the king. So what was supposed to happen, or what was happening with normal people, wasn't happening with the favored person. Come on, y'all, today. It wasn't happening with the favored person, because the one who was ultimately in authority had still granted him authority to stay in position and in power despite what he was going through. And I need somebody in this room and on Facebook this morning, or wherever you're watching us, to understand the reason why you should not be giving up, the reason why you should not be bent out of shape, the reason why you should not feel like I can't go on and do this anymore, because all of the stuff that I'm going through is because the God that you serve is the greatest authority. And because you serve him, matter of fact, because you are his child and he has given you inherited authority through the cross of Jesus Christ, you got to understand that you have authority to remain in position and walk in your power, although you may be afflicted. He's powerful and afflicted, but his affliction don't have power over him.
Help us today.
Stop giving your afflictions power over you because you don't like it. Stop giving your afflictions power over you to push you outside of the will of God. Stop letting your afflictions push you out of the position that God has authorized you to operate in just because it's a little hard. I'm not saying you're not going to struggle. I'm not saying it's not going to be difficult, but what I am saying is, the authority and power that you have got through the cross of Jesus Christ and the impartation of his Holy Spirit that rests, rules, and abides with you each and every day has more power and authority than anything that you may be going through.
All right.
So he's powerful, he's afflicted. But then the story changes just a little bit. Because when you get to verse 2, and I'm probably not going to get through all of this today. I'm going to try, but if I don't,
It'll be a part two.
But we often skip over the significance of the slave girl in this story. It says, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. You gotta understand, as a slave girl, she wasn't supposed to be speaking.
Oh!
We gotta think about the significance of this time. There's three reasons, Minister Fahim, she was supposed to keep silent. First part I really don't like, because she was a girl.
Right.
And this is the time that they were living in. She was a girl, she was a slave, and she was a foreigner.
Yes.
She was a girl, she was a slave, and she was a foreigner, because she had a word. So everything that everybody else thought discounted her from being able to open her mouth, she bypassed it and still gave a word. Matter of fact, she's in a foreign land where they're worshiping foreign gods, but she didn't forget where she came from and the foundation of her homeland. And she recognized, y'all may worship all of these different gods, and you may not understand what's going on, but I know a man back where I came from who serves a true and living God. And if you went to the true prophet, you can get really healed. And this is what I love about this text, because some of us won't open our mouths because of the labels that people have placed on us, and we keep the word of God housed in us instead of opening our mouth. I don't care if they don't like you, open your mouth. I don't care if they think you're from Jersey City or North, and you ain't got nothing to say, and you are on the roller of peace. It don't matter. When God has given you a word, and you have knowledge of who God is and what God can do in their life, you are commanded to still open your mouth. And this is what I like, because she could have been petty. She could have been angry, because she is a slave. She don't have nothing. She don't have no authority. She don't have no power, but she has the truth of the living God.
Wow.
Right.
That's savvy. Wow. What an exegete.
And she didn't let what she went through keep her mouth closed.
Jesus.
Because she could have said, y'all can figure that out. Because maybe if my master dies from this leprosy, I'll get my freedom. I might not have to be a slave no more. But she wasn't bitter. God bless you, Bishop Jones. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry. He made it, y'all. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry. She wasn't nasty. But she told them the truth. I know a man that serves a true and living God. And if my master would just go to the prophet, he will get healed. And I need somebody again to understand. It doesn't matter the labels. It doesn't matter how people discount you. It doesn't matter what you did in your past. It doesn't matter what you did last night. If God has given you the truth of who he is and given you the power to speak a word of life into somebody, open your mouth and declare what thus saith the Lord. Open your mouth and bring healing to their life. Open your mouth, because watch this. She's not the one that's going to give the healing, but she's the one that's going to deliver them to the one that came. If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria. And this is how confident she was, not in Elisha, but in God.
Why?
Because she didn't say, well, this is what she said. She said, if only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would. She didn't say, perhaps. If you go have a conversation with Elisha, and Elisha prays to the Lord, and the Lord said, she knew immediately, if you get to the right resource who is connected to the source, everything that you need would be available to you. She was so secure in the power of the living God back home where she came from that she said, even though you took me from where I was, I'm going to send you back to my land to get healing. Or watch, she didn't put no contingency on her master. She didn't say, but you got to take me with you. And sometimes, thank you, Holy Spirit, sometimes we got to get out of this mindset. Well, I'll be a blessing to you as long as you make sure the people know it was me. I'll be a blessing to you as long as you take me with you. We got to learn how to give a word without the contingency that we got to get something out the deal. Because here it is. He never told her that if he was cheating, God.
Why, my man?
My God.
Amen.
Woo.
And Naaman, it says Naaman went in and told his master, thus and thus, said the girl who was from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.
Hold up.
And Naaman told him what the young girl said about the prophet. Why are you sending a letter to the king?
Oh, wow, right.
Because she didn't say the king had authority to heal Naaman. She said the prophet in Israel. Now, we understand authority to authority. So we understand that the king of Syria had to write a letter to the king of Israel, but what made him consider, or what made him forget to say to the king, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so he can go to the prophet and heal him. He wrote the letter to the king, asking the king to heal. What in the world got lost in translation?
Wow.
Here it is. Uh-oh. Elisha is known being popular. Elisha is known in Israel, but not in Syria.
Okay. Right.
So it's possible the king said, what in the world I look like sending you to somebody I don't know, who I don't think have the authority. I'm going to send you to the one I perceive has the authority. Church, I want you to be careful who you go to for help. Some of us have an issue, and I'm not going to look at nobody in the eye because, you know, I'm going to say what God told me to say, but the church is so prophetic hungry. The church, the people,
come on,
are so thirsty.
What? Extremely thirsty.
For the idols that we have created in the church.
My God.
Whew. I'm going to say it, Jesus.
Just say it.
That we go to those who we perceive have authority, and those are not the ones God has told us to go to. Some of us, God has told us to go to that widow woman who lost a husband that the church says don't got no power, but the Lord put the word in her mouth for you. But because other people don't deem them necessary or important, we'll go to the ones we think got the power, the ones, and y'all don't judge me because I do it too, the ones that lay hand on folk, the ones that, you know, run around the church, the one that's always on Facebook posting something. We go to those people because we think they got the authority. And sometimes God is saying, that's not the one I told you to go to. I told you to go to Bishop Jones. And I know that some people don't understand authority or power in his voice. I know some people don't understand because he's such a humble man. But behind our humbleness is the power that I put in him to do the work that I called him to do. Just because those in authority may not know what you carry, it doesn't decrease the anointing or authority on your life.
Right.
So, no, I can't. Y'all know that. When it's a download, you gotta catch it, because I don't know what I said until I go back and listen to it. So the king wrote to the king of Israel.
My God.
And the king of Israel was rightfully upset. Right. Am I God? Like, how you gonna ask me to heal somebody? I ain't got the power to heal myself. How are you going to ask me to do something that's outside of my kingly authority and kingly duty? Because the kings of Israel didn't have the authority to operate in priestly things. And when they did, it caused trial. And I don't believe you, go ahead and read about Saul.
Yeah,
okay. But Saul, he had authority, but he didn't have appointment and anointing from God to do priestly things. And he took it upon came and caused the death, not only of his kingship, but of his life. So the king of Israel was like, well, I ain't God. God can't heal him. And truthfully, he didn't even believe the letters in the letter. He took it as an offense, thinking this man is trying to butter me up to come and now fight with me. It says that in the text. He says, therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. Sometimes when we ask people to do something outside of their authority, it could be offensive. And when we don't have the right level of discernment, we don't understand the anger of some people because we perceive they had the ability. We didn't discern they didn't have the anointing. So we ask them to do something outside of their wheelhouse of knowledge, and then they get angry with us and it causes tension. Can I tell somebody the next time before you go to somebody and ask them for help, the next time before you open your mouth and ask somebody to do something, ask God to give you a discerning spirit and make sure you're not asking somebody to do something outside of their appointed and anointed ability? Some of us will have less frustration, less confusion, less tension in relationships if we stopped and asked God, what is their appointed and anointed authority in this situation in my life? And it says, so it was, when Elisha, I might actually get through this today, y'all. So Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and tearing your clothes wasn't a sign of aggression, it was a sign of grief. Because even back then, when somebody passed away, they would tear their clothes. But when in grief, they would be in sackcloth and ashes. That was the way that they signified that they were going through something. So when Elisha, you know, found out that the king had tore his clothes, he was like, why are you tearing? You don't got to be in distress. Simple to me. Come on, king. Now, the king of Israel knew about Elisha. Come on, king. What you upset for? You know, you can't do it, but send them to me.
Right.
This is what's ironic in the text. Elisha says, please let him come to me, and he shall know that there was a prophet in Israel. It says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. So, picture. Somebody invites you to their house. You don't know about this person. They know about your situation. And they're like, I got the resources and the ability to help you. So you send them on to my house. Can you imagine getting to the door of somebody that you didn't ask for, but they sent for you and you knock in? And they don't even come outside to address you? You sent somebody else? You didn't even send somebody of equal stature with yourself or me. You sent a servant. Ooh, I'm a great warrior. How dare you send me a servant, a messenger, with a message on what to do? You didn't come tell me yourself. You didn't come right. You didn't come shake my hand. You didn't come allow me to speak to you what was going on in my life. You didn't have the decency of allowing me to be in your presence. You sent a messenger with this dirty message? Because when you read the text, he's offended. We're going to get to that in a minute. And it says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away. This ties into what I was saying before. Some of us have gotten a word through a messenger that we weren't expecting and that we thought was beneath us, or we thought didn't have the authority to speak to us. So when they gave us the word that the Lord said, we walked away furious. Because this isn't what I wanted you to do,
right.
God. This isn't
right.
Who I wanted you to send, God.
Right.
This isn't the way I wanted to get my healing, God. And so God, since you refuse to meet my expectations, I refuse to follow your instructions. And the church says, ouch, and amen. Because each and every one of us, including myself, have been in times and spaces where we've been praying lamenting and begging God, God, would you heal me? God, would you heal my spouse? God, would you change the heart of my child? God, would you change the situation of my job? God, will you change this financial burden? God, will you do this? And then God sent somebody on a bus that you happen to have a conversation with, and they start telling you, well, if you have this problem, I know of a financial steward that can help you save your money. And you're like, whatever. I don't want to do it that way. I've been guilty of it, and I'm glad I don't have my glasses on because my husband knows. I'm like, oh, I'm saved. Let me go out the window. I repented that, all right? We got to repent of that. We get into situations and God will send a word to somebody to tell you, okay, you're dealing with all these frustrations, but you got to learn to be patient. And you feel that because they're just a customer that you're serving and you don't know it. And you're like, where in the world did you come from? But you know that the Lord has been working on you with your patience and you turn a deaf ear and then you get mad. God, how come things haven't changed in my life? They haven't changed not because I don't have power and not because I haven't given you instruction. But you decided to ignore the one that I said because you didn't deem them worthy enough to listen to. Not only did he deem the messenger, he ain't like the message. He says, surely, he said to himself, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to get back to the end of 10, because 10 and 13 connect, so I'm gonna go back to that in a minute, but we're gonna go to 11 because it says Naaman became furious and went his way and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. You know, some of us have a problem receiving the word of the Lord because we're too busy talking to ourselves. We have all of these conversations in our head and in our mind, and we think and we line up and we create this whole scenario of how we think God is going to do it. And when God says, "Now I'm not coming that way," you're like, "Hold up, wait a minute, God, because the way I saw this playing out, surely he would have came and spoke to me." And God was like, "Surely he's not." I said, "I told him to sin," and this is what I love. It never even says that Elisha prayed to ask God, "Do you want him to be healed?" Elisha already knew the authority that he had, and at this season that the people of God needed to see the power and authority of the Lord. So, and because he already knew the mantle, thank you, Holy Spirit, he already knew the mantle that he had. He didn't constantly waste time asking God, should I operate in what you gave me or should I wait? And somebody needs to hear that again. Some of us have been constantly asking God, should I do it? Should I say it? Should I go here? Should I prophesy? Should I lay hands? Should I teach this word? Should I preach this? And God is like, I've already created you to be that person and given you power and authority to operate. Why do you keep asking me to do what I already anointed you to do?
Go ahead.
Some of us, God has given us a complete access and complete permission to do. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't posture ourselves. But here's what I learned about this text with Elisha. When you consistently posture yourselves as a child of God, when you consistently posture yourself as his vessel that he's anointed, you are constantly ready to do the work that he's called you to do.
Stay ready.
So he kept talking to himself. He's like, he come out here waving his hand. You know, that's what it says in the text. He said, surely he will come out and stand and call. He wanted this great big gesture. He wanted Elisha to be like, Father, Abba, Lord, this man is in need of a healing. And to show yourself mighty to the king of Syria, Father, let fire fall from heaven. God, let there be a smoke in the atmosphere so that all the land, Elisha was like, I don't need to do all that. Surely, right, thank you, because that's where I'm going. He wanted a theatrical performance, but he didn't want an authentic healing. Church.
Church.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
Church.
We want the theatrics of service and not the authenticity of God. We can literally, and I'm not looking at anybody, I'm going to close my eyes, because we have all been here at one point or another, or at least being in a service where it's all this high praise, and it's people running around, and they shouting, and they screaming, and all of this stuff. And God didn't do nothing. We want the, want the prophet to speak a word, but then when the prophet give you a word to make you fall out with yourself, you're like, that ain't no real man of God. He ain't prophesied wealth to me. You don't need wealth because you don't know how to take care of the finances you got now. God ain't crazy. He ain't going to give you a word that you desire when you can't follow the word that he's designed. He wanted the theatrics. Because again, he said to himself, these other rivers, aren't they better than all the waters of Israel? Why are you going to tell me this great man of valor to go down into this muddy water? Are you crazy? You want me to lower who I am? Yeah. You want me to be seen in this lower position?
Yes.
You want me to go and dip down into your dirty waters to be clean? Watch this. Not once, but seven times.
Okay.
So you want me to completely immerse myself in what I consider dirty to be clean?
Right.
I'm going to throw this out here parenthetically. Some of us keep serving God as dirty. Some of us, when God says, go stand on that corner and talk to them crackheads and them opioids, because that was all opioids, or for going to the prison, or go to the nursing home, or go serve these people, you know, go to Penn Station with the homeless who haven't showered. We're like, I want to go over there with them people. God happened to be drunk. What I look like as the great prophet, what I look like as the pastor, what I look like as the leader to co-mingle with the people that are dirty. But what we don't understand is even in that, in our moments of service, God is not only using them to bless you, but he's using them to nurture you. Here he is again with his expectations,
wow,
with his bound self. Because remember, I told you in the beginning, Naaman is bound. That's why he needs to be emancipated. And again, it's not the emancipation from the leprosy. He don't need to just be healed from the leprosy, but he needs to be set free from his pride.
That's right, yep.
Because it was pride that made him say, how dare you not come and talk to me? It was his pride because of his position that made him say, how dare you ask me to go and do something so dirty? It was his pride that kept him bound from getting the healing that he needed. And I need somebody to understand there were some things that you have been asking God to release and to do and to heal and to move, but you don't understand that you're not getting the release and the healing and the deliverance, not because you don't have a desire to do so, but because something is binding you from following the instructions that God gave you because it didn't meet your expectation. He sent it through somebody you weren't expecting. He did it in a way that you weren't expecting. And because you relied more on what you expected than the one who was the expected one, you are still bound to some things, and you are the reason you're not getting what you need from God, because you refuse to humble yourselves and do what the Lord told you to do. And here it is. The Lord uses more servants. Father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, simply wash and be clean? It wasn't until another set of servants reminded him that your need is greater than your expectation. Because the truth of it is, again, he was stuck in his pride. So they said, well, if he told you to do something great and grand, wouldn't you have done it?
Right.
So why does something that is so simple so hard for you to follow through with?
Okay.
And some of us have been stalled, stagnated, stuck on stupid, out of alignment, not in the will of God, not in position, not walking in our power and authority, not releasing the word, not speaking to people, not doing the work, because we feel like, well, God so-and-so did it in a great fashion. You let them have this great platform. You let their name be known. You let this, that, and the third happen for them. Why I gotta have this lowly position? Why I gotta have this lowly ministry? Why I gotta have this lowly gift? Why I gotta do it this way? God, I want it in a great fashion too. And what we fail to understand is any instruction or blessing that the Lord has given us is great. Why? Because it still shows the manifestation of his power. Whether it's great or small, we understand that it's all being done because of the power and authority of God. This is why we can't discount any assignment or anything God has given us. This is why we can't discount any gift, talent, or ability that God has given us, because great or small, it is the power of the living God that is working in each and of everything. This is why when he gives you instructions, whether it's for somebody else or for yourself, you gotta humble yourself and do what he calls you to do. Maybe it isn't pride that's causing you not to follow instructions. Maybe you are afraid because you feel like, God, I never wanted to be here in the first place. God, I never saw myself operating in this. God, I never saw myself going to this place. And God said, you didn't see it, but this is what I said, and in my sovereignty, I'm sending you to be the one to bring healing. So then go and do what he told you to do. His servant said, just because, and I'm paraphrasing it, this is scenario, but anyway, just because it didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, it can still happen the way God designed for it to happen.
Wow, yeah.
And I want somebody who's been dealing with the futility of their frustration, because it's still waiting on God to meet their expectation and their way. And God is like, I've already given you instruction, but because you perceive what I said to be lower than what you desired, you won't do what I designed you to do. And so you're frustrated and you're angry and you feel like things aren't working. And it's not that it's not working. What's not working is your faith and trust in me to do it the way that I said do it. So what? It ain't millions of dollars. This is still what I told you to do. So what? You don't have 500 people listening to you, but this is what I told you to do. It don't matter if they don't follow you all the way. Keep on walking with me, because I called you to follow me, or whoever I designed to follow you will follow you. It doesn't matter if you keep dealing with sickness after sickness. This sickness don't have power and authority over you, because I still position you to walk in my power and authority. It does not matter. Follow the instructions. I'm almost done. For real. You won't get this thing. So, after his servants made him accountable, and I want us to know, we need to have people that hold us accountable.
Yeah.
This is what I love about this text, Bishop. Whether they're on, would we perceive them to be on our level, above us, or under us, if God has called them to keep us accountable, don't get offended, make the adjustment.
Amen. That's good.
Because he could have kept walking in offense. He's already in offense because Elisha didn't come out and he sent his messenger. He's already in offense because he wanted to go dip himself in a dirty river. He could have continued in offense, but he recognized what he needed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What he needed required him to be obedient and not operate in offense. And some of us are not receiving what God has for us because when God sends somebody with the word and it pricks our flesh, instead of being convicted and making the adjustment, we operate in our feelings and continue in offense, and we don't receive what God has for us. But I pray that somebody is emancipated from the feeling of offense and learn how to walk in the conviction of the Lord and follow the instruction God has given you. Whether it's good or whether it's great or whether it's small, whether it's somebody you know, don't know, you like or don't like, it don't matter. Who the messenger is does not matter. You got to follow the instructions of the one who sent the message. So it says he finally went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean seven times. And we know as children of the Lord that that number seven is completion, perfection.
Yes.
It is completely done. Yes. And some of us feel like, well, God, I did this two times already. God, I did this. I forgave them four times. I'm not forgiving them again. God, I made the adjustments. Lord, I'm not going to keep doing it. God, I surrendered. God, I said yes. God, I followed the instructions. And God said, you followed them incompletely because you didn't do it as many times as I told you to do it. You can't do it according to what you think will fix the situation. You got to follow the instructions that told you what actually will fix the situation. So he did himself seven times. And what I like about the text is not in here, but it's implied. Although he was previously offended, thank you, Holy Spirit, when the servants made him accountable, it's implied that he did it without complaint. Here's what a true word from the Lord will do for somebody. They will cause you to operate in obedience without complaint. Previously, he was like, I'm not going in this dirty water. You out your mind. But when the servant said, but if he would have told you to get on your camel and adorn yourself on all your regalia and shout out to the Lord when you have done that, if he would have told you to make a spectacle of yourself and have everybody surround you and clap their hands, would you have done that? If he would have told the prophet to come lay the mantle on you or the shawl over you and anoint you with oil from the crown of your head to your soles of your feet, wouldn't you do that? If he would have told you to come lay at the altar and lay prostrate, wouldn't you have done that? So just because he didn't do it the way you wanted him or in a grand fashion where everybody can see the work that God is doing in you, and he's calling you to retreat to a place in private and get healed. I hope somebody caught that, because some of us want to be healed in front of everybody so everybody can see, but some of your healing ain't the public's business. Some of it, God wants you to get into a place where he can dip you down into the storehouse of his knowledge and his grace and your peace and heal you privately, so when you pop out publicly, what you used to look like and how you used to operate and what you used to sound like and who you used to, they can see an immediate change. So he went and he dipped himself seven times. We're going to do a part two next week.
Yeah.
Amen. But when he was obedient, his flesh was restored. When he was obedient, his flesh was restored. When he was obedient, his flesh was restored. When he was obedient, his flesh was restored.
Okay.
But look at the text. It wasn't restored to its previous condition at the age he was.
Wow.
It was restored, the text says, like a child. Pure. Clean. Undefiled. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And some of us, some things have been restored completely where it's now pure because we haven't been following the instructions. Some of us, because we got tired of dipping in the store, because we got tired of repenting, because we got tired of crucifying our flesh, because we got tired of paying attention to the Lord. We did things partially, and we got partial restoration or partial healing, and then we mad at God. But can I tell somebody what the Lord just whispered in my ear? It's not that he doesn't desire for you to have full restoration, but he wants your full obedience. It is your obedience that's going to lay way for the full restoration of your family. It's going to be your obedience that's going to lay way to the healing in your body. It's going to be your full obedience to do what God says, even when it's contrary to your flesh and your emotions. Hallelujah. It's going to be when you say, yes, God, I surrender all. I may not understand it. I may not like how this feels. I may not like who this is connected to me in this moment, but I don't care about what I like. What I desire is what you have for me. Somebody needs to know what this morning. It's time to get out of your own way by ignoring the instructions of the God because you don't like the messenger. It don't matter if you don't like the messenger. You need to be concerned about the Messiah who came and bled and shed his blood for you. And it's because of the Messiah that we even nowadays have access to the Father to say, Father, this is what I'm in need of. And it's because of the Messiah who got the ability to receive the instructions from God. And it says his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. Somebody needs today, even your faith, to be restored like that of a little child. Because you've been through so much and you've experienced so much hell and you've experienced so much heartache. That even when the Lord gave you instruction, you questioned and bargained and had an attitude with God. God is like, I told you to submit to me. I told you to stop being defensive. I told you to stop putting up these walls. I told you to stop walking away. I told you to forgive them. I told you to let it go. I told you to walk with me. I told you to trust me. I told you to operate it because you see them more than you see me. You can't hear what I'm saying to you. And God is even saying right now, begin to ask him to help you drown out the evidence of what used to be and help you to receive the evidence of who he is so that what he has for you, you can receive. And it says his flesh was restored and he was clean. There's significance in the "and he was clean." Because the restoration of his flesh, thank you, Holy Spirit, was evidence of the external change.
Right.
Wow. Him being clean was evidence of the internal change.
Yeah.
Because just because his skin was restored didn't necessarily mean the leprosy wasn't still inside.
Yeah.
So when he followed the instruction, he got a dual blessing. He got restored and he got clean. The external was completed, but so was the internal. It was completed. And as I get ready to take my seat, I don't know why I keep hearing God saying, you need to follow the instructions. Whether or not you agree to them is not God's concern. We will not always agree with what God tells us to do, but agreeing with it does not give us permission not to be obedient to it. We have to agree. We have to be obedient whether we agree. We have to be obedient whether we like the people he uses. We have to be obedient whether we like where he tells us to go. We have to be obedient regardless of how many times he tells us to do it. We have to be obedient. And I promise you, just as Naaman got his dual blessing, he got restored and doesn't matter how many times God has said it. It doesn't matter how great or small the instruction. God wants somebody today to be fully emancipated. What that means is he wants you to be fully free from the thing that has kept you bound. Because you've been dealing with the external situations, but God has really been trying to get to the heart of your issue. And when we get to this next week, we're going to see that when he was finally obedient, he proclaimed to the true and living God for us.
Okay.
A pagan servant, a pagan leader, giving honor to the true and living God.
Jesus.
But it wasn't until he was obedient. And look at that. He's being obedient to a foreign prophet and a foreign God. Sometimes when it's inviting, the stuff God says to us seems foreign.
Yo, yes.
But because it seems foreign to us in our natural, because we haven't been in position the right way in our spirit, it appears foreign. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But I'm going to encourage somebody, even when what God says to you seems foreign, trust in the fact that God is faithful to release to you what you need. And if you struggle with that, ask the Lord to help you surrender. Help us, Father, to surrender. Help us, Father, not to be in a place where we're only seeking, thank you, Holy Spirit, where we're only seeking relief from the external things, but we are ignoring the internal workings and the internal change you're trying to do. God, help us not be like Naaman, offended when you tell us to do something that we talked ourselves out of doing. Help us, Lord God. I pray that each and every one of us on today will begin to ask the Lord, God, what do I need to be free from? God, what is it that I've been focusing on in the external realm that I haven't been paying attention to what it is that you want to do on the inside of me? God, there have been some things that have been dirty in my life. There have been some things that have been bounding me that I don't see the full manifestation of your power in my life. God, there are some things that are causing me to miss out because I don't have discernment. God, there are some things that are keeping me chained up in my spirit, chained up in my mind, chained up in my emotions. Lord, that when you release the word, I can't follow the word. But I pray, God, on today that you release your people, that you fully emancipate us, meaning that you have us to no longer allow those things to have authority over us, but that we understand that because of the blood of Jesus, because of the cross of Christ, that we have full authority in him and through him to be who you called us to be, to do what you called us to do, to be obedient, to be holy, to be righteous, to be sanctified for your glory and the edification of your saints. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you emancipate your people, that we are no longer bound by the ways of this world, bound by the temptation of our flesh, bound by the lies of the enemy, but that we can hold on, Lord God, and receive the impartation of your holy word, through your Holy Spirit, through your Holy Son, because you are a holy God. Might be unexpected, but walk in your freedom. We'll finish this next Sunday. God bless you.